It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
In videotape remarks on Monday, President Biden lambasted the former guy by name, something he hasn't really done before, over his behavior on January 6th. And at the same time, he thanked the police who responded to the insurrection.
For 3 hours, the defeated former president of the United States watched it all happen as he sat in the comfort of the private dining room next to the Oval Office. While he was doing that, brave law enforcement officer subject to the medieval hell for 3 hours, dripping in blood, surrounded by carnage, face to face with crazed mob that believed the lies of the defeated president. The police were heroes that day. Donald Trump lacked the courage to act.
Meanwhile, Mark Short, a top aide to the former Vice President Mike Pence and his one-time chief of staff, testified in front of a federal grand jury investigating the January 6th insurrection, as did Greg Jacob. He was Mike Pence's counsel. Both men also testified to the January 6th committee, and both are among the highest-ranking members of the Trump administration to do so. Also, the House Select Committee investigating January 6th released a new video on Monday showing Donald Trump's edits to the script for that taped statement he recorded on January 7th, in which he refused to say that the insurrectionists should go to jail and otherwise be held accountable. He resisted criticizing them. Now, although Mark Short didn't want to talk about his actual testimony, he did do an interview with ABC News and had some pretty stark warnings about what could have happened on that day.
If the mob had gotten closer to the vice president, I do think there would have been a massacre in the Capitol that day.
So there's the House Select Committee's investigation, and now we know that the Department of Justice has impaneled a grand jury and subpoenaed some very high-ranking members of the former guy's administration. And then there's Georgia's grand jury investigation into Trump's attempts to upend the 2020 presidential election results in that state. And on Monday, Georgia Governor Brian Kemp testified before that grand jury. This investigation is from Fulton County District Attorney Fannie Willis. Donald Trump is also scheduled to testify. His testimony was delayed until August after the death of his first wife, but it's coming. So progress is being made, along with some setbacks. A judge in Georgia on Monday ruled that DA Fannie Willis cannot look into the role of Republican Georgia State Senator Burt Jones. He was one of the 11 fake electors who falsely claimed that the former guy was the rightful winner of Georgia's votes in the 2020 election. Why can't she look into Jones' role? Because he's running for lieutenant governor. And he asked the court to disqualify Willis from the case because she supported his Democratic opponent, Charlie Bailey, at a fundraiser earlier this year. So Fulton County Superior Court Judge Robert McBurney disqualified Willis from investigating Jones, but only Jones, not the other fake electors. And now, with time running out before Congress goes on its August recess, they're sprinting to the finish line to pass some much-needed legislation and to give President Biden some legislative wins. But everything is in jeopardy because COVID is again raging. Three senators are currently out with it: Joe Manchin, Thomas Carper, and Lisa Murkowski. Senator Tina Smith of Minnesota announced Monday night that she'll return from her COVID isolation on Tuesday. But Senator Patrick Leahy is also still out after hip surgery. In the meantime, at around 11 a.m. Tuesday morning, the Senate is scheduled for a cloture vote on the CHIPS Plus bill. This vote was supposed to be Monday night, but flights were delayed at Washington's airports, and senators had a tough time getting into town. The CHIPS Plus bill includes badly needed incentives for domestic semiconductor manufacturing and investments in U.S. chip research that would help strengthen the economy, our national security, and our leadership in critical technologies. If the Senate passes the CHIPS Plus bill this week, the House should take it up in the coming days. Next week is especially precarious because Senate Democrats are hoping to move their prescription drug bill. Even though they'd only need 50 votes to pass this one because they're running it through the reconciliation process, any absence could be a problem. So as soon as they have the votes, Democrats also plan to vote on legislation to provide federal protections to same-sex couples. Again, the ball is sort of in COVID's court. Now, Biden's not only counting on those wins, he also took some action Monday to restore protections for LGBTQ groups and others seeking health services that were struck down under the former guy. This proposed rule, issued by the Department of Health and Human Services, would clarify that discrimination on the basis of sex includes decisions regarding pregnancy termination, and that healthcare organizations that receive federal funding would also be barred from discriminating against gender transitions and other services that have increasingly become the target of state legislative battles and litigation. Officials also stressed that the new federal anti-discrimination language covers a patient's sexual orientation and gender identity. You undoubtedly remember the story of the 10-year-old girl from Ohio who had to cross into Indiana to get an abortion after being raped. Well, the rapist, who had confessed to raping the girl on two separate occasions when he was arrested on July 12th, pleaded not guilty yesterday. And finally, a few TV tidbits. The producers of Jeopardy are set to announce the new host will be same as the old. Maya Bialik and Ken Jennings are finalizing deals to continue to share hosting duties during Jeopardy's upcoming season 39. All right, guess he can't please everyone. Full Frontal with Samantha Bee, which has aired on TBS since 2016, has ended its run. A TBS spokesman explained, quote, as we continue to shape our new programming strategy, we've made some difficult business-based decisions. Boo hiss. And finally, Keith Olbermann is resurrecting his Countdown show for a new daily podcast. He's launching Countdown with Keith Olbermann through iHeartMedia and will reportedly have a mix of politics and sports. And so it goes. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.